This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. There's an experiment going on in Oregon. Last month, a measure went into effect that decriminalizes small amounts of all drugs. Needless to say, this is a big deal.
Oregon voters have cast their ballots in favor of Measure 110.
Now, this is getting headlines around the country.
In Oregon, voters chose to decriminalize small amounts of cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamine, also mushrooms.
It's the first state in the country to have a rollback like this. Possession of common street drugs will go from a misdemeanor to a citation. And on that citation will be a number to call for recovery help.
Oregon, like many other places in the country, is dealing with an addiction crisis. And the people behind this measure know that. It's an effort to treat addiction like a healthcare issue, instead of a criminal justice one. But Oregon's addiction and recovery community is split on whether this experiment is a good idea. Sci-Fi producer Kathleen Davis takes a closer look.
Haven Wheelock runs a health services program for drug users in Portland, Oregon. It's called Outside In. She works with people in the community who are often homeless and primarily inject heroin and meth. It runs one of the oldest syringe access programs in the country.
I am working to promote health and healing and hope with people who are using substances, regardless of where they are on the continuum of change. If they want to change their behavior, then great, let's help do that. If they don't want to change their behavior, that's fine too.
Haven has been feeling pretty optimistic about the people she works with lately. That's because on February 1st, a measure went into effect that decriminalized the possession of small amounts of all drugs in Oregon. That means if you're caught with 1 or 2 grams of a drug like heroin or meth, you won't be charged. Instead, you'll either pay a maximum $100 fine or complete a health assessment within 45 days at an addiction recovery center.
When people tell me that they've spent like the last 5 years constantly scared, constantly looking over their shoulder, constantly feeling vilified because of their substance use disorder, and they tell me that they feel like they can breathe a little bit, that's a win. Just decriminalizing simple possession is a huge win for folks.
Haven was one of the chief petitioners behind Measure 110, meaning she was out there getting signatures to get it on the ballot. In November, Oregonians voted to approve it by a 16-point margin. It's the first state in the country to approve decriminalization at this scale. But wait. A lot of you are probably wondering how we got here. We've been conditioned to think drugs are capital B bad. Remember those commercials? Your brain's gonna fry like an egg. So why decriminalize them? Drugs, for half a century, have been treated as a criminal justice issue. When that started, it was kind of an experiment itself. What we know as the war on drugs here in the U.S. started during the 70s, during the Nixon administration, right after the civil rights movement of the 60s. Nixon framed civil rights as contributing to an increase in crime and targeted drugs as a way to crack down. Heroin, meth, and marijuana were all made Schedule I, which means they have no medical benefits and high potential for abuse, according to the government. But it wasn't based in a lot of science. Here's Catherine Neal Harris, a fellow in drug policy at Rice University's Baker Institute in Houston.
And so that's when the whole idea of this law and order politics really took root. And, you know, being tough on drugs was sort of an extension of being tough on crime. And it allowed Nixon and other Republicans to kind of capitalize on this racial animus and sort of appeal to white voters and also turn public attention away from other problems that the country was facing, you know, both at home and abroad.
So for decades, this tough-on-crime attitude towards drugs remained. Drug use did go down, according to the federal government, but the war on drugs also decimated neighborhoods, very frequently Black, Latino, and other minority communities. But things started to change in the 90s, according to Catherine.
You know, the war on drugs is really expensive, and states need balanced budgets. And so they were like, okay, well, you know, we need to do something to reduce incarceration if we can. And so there were some very sort of some sort of rollbacks that you started to see.
In 1996, California became the first state to legalize medical marijuana. Over the next 2 decades, 34 states followed suit, and 16 states have voted to legalize recreational marijuana. But weed is not the same as heroin or meth. So why was Oregon willing to take a risk with decriminalizing small amounts of what so many think of as quote-unquote hard drugs? Well, Oregon has long been looked at as a progressive state for health-related measures. It was the first state to decriminalize weed possession in 1973. Eugene, the third largest city in the state, deploys healthcare workers, not police, when someone is having a mental health crisis. And Oregon was the first state to enact a Death with Dignity Act in 1997. This allows terminally ill people to end their lives on their terms with lethal medications. Measure 110, the drug decriminalization measure, was spearheaded by the Drug Policy Alliance, or DPA, an organization focused on reducing criminalization associated with drug use across the country. Oregon seemed like the perfect candidate.
DPA has worked in Oregon for over two decades.
Cassandra Frederick is the Drug Policy Alliance's executive director. She and the organization are based in New York.
So we have worked with folks on medical marijuana, on adult use, and, you know, we've supported folks on the ground there for a very long time. And Oregon also has urban centers and rural centers and like super rural centers, right? And so there's a lot of diversity.
In Oregon, as it is in the rest of the country, there's a racial disparity in who's written up for drug possession. Before Measure 110 in Oregon, if you were Black or Native, you were a lot more likely to get in trouble for possession of a controlled substance.
Overwhelmingly, folks told us it's really bad. Like, we don't want to criminalize people.
It's important to note, though, that possession of small amounts was already reduced from a felony to a misdemeanor in Oregon. So not a lot of people were spending time in jail just for this. Cassandra and the other big backers behind Measure 110 say, look, throwing people in jail, giving them hefty fines, treating them as criminals for drug possession and addiction can't be the best solution. So they say, let's treat decriminalization as a healthcare issue. Andy Seaman is an assistant professor of medicine at Oregon Health and Science University. He's also a healthcare clinician for the homeless in Portland. He says successful healthcare for people with addiction is all about transparency and empathy.
I will not judge you for your substance use. And addiction can be a relapsing and remitting disease. It's okay if that happens. If you use again, please just come back.
Andy used to be a doctor in the Multnomah County Jail in Portland. He says he often saw a cycle with patients who had to go cold turkey in jail. They go through withdrawal in an unfamiliar environment, they're traumatized, and then when they're released, they seek out drugs to self-medicate. For opioids, overdose risk is 129 times higher in the first 2 weeks of someone being released from jail.
Certainly, there are case scenarios where people have gone to jail and then were arrested, and that was a wake-up call, or maybe they were in prison and they found their recovery that way. A lot of people in Oregon recovery are those people, right? They're people who made it through a pathway like that. But these are the people who survived.
Like so many states, Oregon is grappling with an addiction problem. In 2018, there were 8 overdose deaths for every 100,000 residents, and it's gotten worse. There was a 40% jump in overdose deaths over 2019 and the first half of 2020. Officials in Oregon say pandemic disruptions are to blame. This problem is exacerbated because Oregon has a really poor system for getting people help for addiction.
We have 3 to 4 to 5 week waits to find a treatment bed.
That's Mike Marshall, executive director of Oregon Recovers, an organization that serves and advocates for people in recovery for addiction. Mike is in recovery himself. He's 13 years clean from alcohol and crystal meth. He was one of the loudest voices against Measure 110 in the recovery community. Mike says Oregon's recovery system is fractured and incomplete. A lot of centers were developed outside of the healthcare system. He calls them mom and pop shops. And because the system is so fractured, it can take time to get help.
The problem with that, the absence of a statewide coordinated plan, is here in Multnomah County, which is Portland, we have one treatment bed per 1,100 population. Now, nobody knows if that's the right metric in a state with 9.5% untreated addiction rates. That should be the first question we answer. But nobody knows that. Clackamas County, which is on the other side of Multnomah County, they have one treatment bed per 36,000 people.
Measure 110 requires the establishment of a statewide network of addiction recovery centers. Instead of getting in legal trouble for possession, you can either pay a fine or get a health assessment at one of these recovery centers. Side note, these centers will be funded by the state's recreational marijuana tax. The problem is, these centers haven't been established yet, and they don't have to be until October. Temporarily, there's a phone line where people can call to do their assessment on the phone. Or if you don't want to do that, you pay a fine. The service limbo is because Measure 110 was a people's measure, meaning it got on the November ballot because the Drug Policy Alliance and their associates gathered enough signatures. But it wasn't a push through the legislature. The state now has to adapt to it after the fact. Mike says he's all for decriminalization.
When they said we need to make this a healthcare system, not a criminal justice problem, they're absolutely right.
But he says it was irresponsible for the people who pushed the measure to do it without the resources available first.
There's nothing in 110 that prepares the healthcare system or expands the capacity of the healthcare system to do that. They simply deconstructed one system without recognizing that it's all well and good to say they should be in the healthcare system, but the healthcare system isn't prepared for them.
Mike says when people got arrested or written up for possession, a lot of them got court-mandated treatment. Mike says it wasn't perfect, but it worked for some people to get them into recovery. Now, he says, a lot of people are going to be cut off from that if they're just getting a citation for possession.
And I will tell you that I think the largest unintended consequence is that the overdose rates are going to shoot up. They've shot up under COVID. There's going to be more people on the street using drugs and no mechanisms to either interrupt that or direct them out of it. And so we're going to lose more lives.
Nearly everyone I spoke to for this story was in agreement about one thing, that Measure 110 is an experiment. Something like this has never been done before in the U.S., but there's a good chance it won't be the last state to do something like this. Cassandra Frederick of the Drug Policy Alliance says they're in talks with a whole bunch of states to do something like this again, including in Washington State, Colorado, California, and Virginia.
You know, this is the same thing we did years ago, where we had conversations with a bunch of folks and said, who's ready? What can we do?
For those on the ground in Oregon, the next few months and years will be crucial for how they can serve vulnerable people in their communities. For Mike Marshall with Oregon Recovers, he says he'll be working with legislators to do some retooling on Measure 110.
You know, it's not a matter of being for or against Measure 110. 110 is law. And so now it's a matter of what I would like to see is that it focus exclusively on funding harm reduction and peer support services, because that's really what the local folks who got behind it, that's what they know and that's what they care about, and direct the funds into clearly articulated outcomes.
Haven Wheelock, who runs the Needle Exchange Program in Portland, says she's hopeful, but she's not looking at this with rose-colored glasses.
I would work myself out of a job any day. I would love to run around with a magic wand and cure everyone's substance use disorders by tapping them on the forehead. That's not realistic. And we do have more work to do, right? We are going to need to continue to build out this system. The system has been left in disrepair. And I'm really hopeful for what this means for our community, for our state. And hopefully, if we can show that this is working, hopefully Oregon being brave will lead other places to be brave too.
For Science Friday, I'm Kathleen Davis.